Hello listeners, and welcome to the AfriWeta platform, where we look to celebrate African history, people and culture by telling our story. As always, our hope is that it fills you with enough curiosity to go and do your own deeper research. Karibuni to any new listeners to the AfriWeta world. We invite you to check out previous AfriWeta episodes, which can be found on this podcast platform. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today, we are in the west of our continent, journeying to meet the Nok, N-O-K, a civilization that is seriously one of the most significant to our continent and our people. A shout out to my West Africans out there. AfriWeta has landed on your shores. I apologize for the mispronunciation of words that will most definitely happen. Before we begin, please remember to visit us on our socials. Our handle is at AfriWeta across all the platforms. Here we post interesting facts, stories, updates, and links for further study for all you lovely people. And remember to tell your friends and families about us, yes? And now, just sit back and enjoy the journey. So, we shall start with an interesting thing about the name Nok, because, you know, what is in a name? Well, when we refer to the Nok civilizations, they're actually named after the town of Nok, where the initial sculptures were found way back then. So, very simple, no? The Nok style and craftsmanship are world-renowned, and for good reason. They are truly magnificent, and we shall talk a little bit about them later. It's worth noting that although the Nok style is often spoken about as if it was one and in one time period, there are actually a few sub-styles and also over different periods. They were pioneers in the perfection of iron smelting, a technology that was not only advanced, but also showed how they leapfrogged a whole age, basically jumping from the Stone Age straight to the Iron Age. But before we get really excited and we go any further, let's do what I'm going to ask you to do all the time. Take out our map so we can see where we are today, all right? So as I said, we are in West Africa, and we can trace the Nok area by starting from the east, where we had the Jos Plateau, go down south to the Benue River, coming up the northwest to the Isabe, which is a Niger River, and finally up north to the Sokoto River. So this area, spanning over about 78,000 square kilometers, is where we're visiting today. So, now we already know that this civilization existed way back in the BC era, before Christ era. It is said to be one of the earliest West African complex civilizations, and recent archaeological finds push it further back, as far back as 900 BC as of today, and some actually say as far back as 1000 BC. And to put this into context, if we even just go on the 9th century BC, that is the 900 BC, that means 900 years before the start of the Anno Domini era. Remember, we count down to 1 BC, and then at 1 BC we start AD 1, and then we start counting up. So at the time of this episode being recorded, we are in the 21st century. So when we look at it in terms of the time span, we're talking about no less than about 2,900 years, almost 3,000 years ago. This is how long ago the Nok civilization existed. And then when you also think of this time period, to give it even more context, the Nok's contemporaries included the Egyptian dynasties of that age, like we have gone proper far back in time. And as I said earlier, this was not one monolithic civilization. In fact, the Nok eras are separated into three broad periods. So for starters, there's the early Nok period, which is pre-900 BC, and it's classed as a start of the middle of the second millennium BC to the early first millennium BC, basically the pre-Iron Stage. You then have the middle Nok from 900 to 300 BC, and in this period, we see the explosion of the Nok works. It is the main phase of the Nok, and it is in this time period that many of the ironworks and terracotta sculptures are seen to have been created, as well as a significant increase in the population in that area. And then lastly, you have the late Nok period, which ran between about 400 BC to 1 BC slash AD 2, which is at the turn of the new millennium. Now, the Nok has been a fascination for many archaeologists over the decade, and new facts keep emerging as recently as today in the 21st century. So modern technology on carbon dating and other dating methods have meant better ways of identifying the years gone by. And the Nok has seen revisions of just how far back its civilization goes, like by hundreds of years. For example, it moved from 300 BC to 500 BC and now at 900 BC. So who knows if this will be pushed even further back in the coming years. The other thing that's happened is that there's also evidence emerging that the area the Nok covered was a lot more extensive than previously thought. And this being mapped based on where the sculptures are being found that trace back to this civilization. This also means that the civilization itself was much larger than envisioned and not niche in any sense of the word. And lastly, these same modern technologies are also uncovering the fact that the civilization lasted a lot longer than initially claimed. So we've already said that it's pushed it back, but now even in terms of where it was thought to be, you know, at the turn of the century, it's actually talking about beyond the second century AD. And I promise you, this is exciting because if you think about it, that means that the Nok, through the years and its eras, have lasted for over 1,000 years, from basically about 900 BC to 2 AD, and possibly longer. So it's amazing information, so please keep watching this space. The terracottas. So, we move from one set of amazing facts to another about our Nok, that of the famed terracottas. I mean, you can't talk of the Nok and not take a bow to these examples of African genius, right? So, terracottas, just to be clear, and I picked this explanation up from Britannica, are any kind of fired clay, but in general usage, a kind of object, for example, a vessel, a figure, or structural form, made from fairly coarse, porous clay that when fired up assumes a color ranging from the dull ochre to red and is usually left unglazed. So, the Nok terracottas, as I've said, have been spoken about in length for decades and by those who are, to be honest with you, much smarter than me. So please, please go and read up on them. And also that means that for me, I'll just touch on them very briefly here at Afriwetu. These sculptors are thought to be amongst the oldest of their kind to date, being produced in the first millennium. And all agree that they show a level of technical expertise and technological advancement for that period. They are distinctive in both their production and style. There are literally thousands of the works found, and still more to come, it seems. They come from different eras, and to give you an idea of how far back we're talking, the contemporaries were the Chinese terracotta soldiers of Xian. When it came to production, let's start with the source material, right? The clay, which is said to be from a particular source in the region. Thus, evidence of a centralized system. It wasn't just happenstance or random. It was a controlled process. And this also points to a sense of a civilization that was complex. All of these things matter because they're like little clues to build a picture of that history. But if we go back to the clay, it was said to then be crafted and styled. And examples of the more identifiable Nok styles include life-size sculptures with very lifelike human features, exaggerated head sizes, typical Nok-styled crescent-shaped eyes, which are quite prominent and identifiable, as well as other exaggerated physical features and with very intricate patterns carved in the sculptures and the works as part of the flourish for that age. Style. Everywhere, style. Some of these styles, especially the lifelike sculptures with exaggerated features, are very similar to that in the Ife culture, with claims that the Ife adopted the Nok style. An episode on the Ife kingdom is coming up this season, I promise you. Anyway, once the styling was done, the clay was then placed in an open fire and baked at heats of between 600 to 800 degrees Celsius. That is like really, really hot, to be honest. So if you think about it, lava starts from the heat of about 700 degrees Celsius. So yeah, hot. And then out of this comes a masterpiece, ones that till today are still a marvel to behold. And following my research on this and other civilizations, what I would say is to think of the terracotta sculptures as historical recording tools, as we do murals and paintings that depict events in a culture's history. Which leads me to a nice segue as we round up on these terracottas. And it's just a thought to share. Now here, we are deliberately not referring to them as just works of art, and the reason being that this is a very Eurocentric view of viewing these and other African creations, which then takes away from the importance of these as part of our cultural expression and significance. Art is indeed very important to recognize, but so is it the acknowledgement of the fact that some, if not majority, of pre-colonial African objects are royal symbols, ancestral totems, ceremonial symbols, hereditary and linkage to generational lines, insignias of a rite of passage, and so on and so forth. And when we remember this, it then becomes very clear why they should not be held in foreign museums as their property, because first of all, they don't belong to them. And secondly, without the African community's express permission to hold these artifacts, it's quite simply put, theft. Now from there, let's look at the pottery. And seeing as we're talking about clay, why don't we jump onto the potter's wheel for a brief time to hear more about the pottery groups of the Nok. Pottery groups are distinguished by the dates, style, and area. So this is a good way to see in practice what is meant by not viewing the Nok style as one united style in just one era, but as different and distinctive groups. So we'll begin with the Punton Dutsi, a group that dates from the middle to the end of the second millennium BC, recognizable by a cross-hatching style and also the finely drawn lines either as spirals, wavy, or horizontal. Then we have the Ido group between the 10th and the 9th century, which is viewed as the one that is the bridge between the second and the first millennium BC. It also sits, the Ido, in the same era as the Ifana, which dates between the 9th and the 8th century BC. The pottery style being recognizable from the cross hatching and or diagonal and delimited horizontal lines. Coming to the next period, between the 8th and the 6th centuries, we have the Pangwari group, whose style were horizontal lines with incisions and indentations in the pottery. Closely followed in the 4th and 3rd century by the Tsanum Gwara, which boasted a more wavy and arched line stylistically. So I think these examples illustrate the diversity of Nok works, and there are even more which we can't go into now because, to be honest, we don't have enough time, which includes things like the Pandauke and the Ungwatkura. So please, please, please go and read up on them and check out those photos. Now, we move from the terracottas. Everyone knows about the terracottas and their other clay works, but what is equally amazing is the iron smelting by the Nok civilization. And one of the most exciting things about them is that. And why? For a number of reasons. Let's start with first the fact that this has been done before the 4th century BC. Go and Google and you'll see why this is quite amazing. But even more dope is that it is one of the only civilizations in the world to have skipped the Bronze Age. So to put this in context, whereas other civilizations outside of our continent went through a bronze/copper age for at least a millennia, our ancestors here didn't. So what pray tell is this age? Well, the Bronze Age, which according to the rest of the world lasted between 3300 BC and 1200 BC, was when humans started to work with metals, using metal tools like copper or bronze, which is basically an alloy of copper, to replace the stone ones. It was a gradual shift which lasted over 2000 years for them to master this particular skill. It is claimed that the first group to have entered this Bronze Age were from what is now the Middle East by the ancient Sumerians. Back to our Nok, as I said, they were one of the very few civilizations to skip this whole age, essentially leapfrogging a whole millennia of how to work with metal and go straight from stone to Iron Age, having the ability to heat and forge without skipping a beat. Let that sink in for a moment. The Nok ironworks are amongst the earliest in sub-Saharan Africa, and this was a part of its prosperity. The manufacture of iron and the skills around metallurgy is one of the key markers in identifying how advanced a society was, not in terms of brains only, but also in terms of the level of complexity of society. This is a standard, it must be stated, that was set from a very Eurocentric view. Nevertheless, using this very same view, our Nok even here confounded foreign eyes as evidence shows them as a very advanced civilization using this scale. The Nok, with their iron smelting and manufacture, meant that they were also producing tools for farming, hunting, weapons, and so on and so forth. This also means that they had mastered the knowledge of working with iron and metals, able to manipulate and control these metals, molding, heating and cooling temperatures, understanding ratios, mixing with other materials, and so on. A material that was not at all similar to what the common ones were, such as clay, wood, animal skins, stone. So it really was not a small feat. And this practice was said to have been well established by the middle of the first millennium BC in this society. And speaking of society, let's meet these advanced ancestors of ours and understand just a little bit more about what the setup was, okay? The Nok flourished within the Middle Nok period. As the production of terracotta cultures increased, so did the population and prosperity. The oldest known settlement as of today, dated between the 4th and the 2nd century, is that of Taruga. And one of the most famous sites is Nsuka, where they carried out heavy iron smelting. There did not seem to be a highly centralized societal structure of the Nok. It was loosely centralized, but still centralized. Most likely, it was grouped in villages that were led by individual chiefs while sharing a common culture. These settlements were formed around extended families who were led by these clans' leaders and could be found on the hillsides, slopes, the plains, and where the land was favorable to drainage when the rains did come. And to be honest, in that area, the rains really could pour it down. They shared common practices as collective groups, surrounding themselves with other autonomous settlements. As a whole, they seemed to be a complex society who engaged in farming, manufacturing, and trade in local goods. They numbered at least over 1,000 people spread over what was across these large settlements. They did not seem to be forest dwellers, as I said, preferring the hills and the plains, well, at least initially. Evidence suggests that when it came to their homes, these were built from natural resources such as wood, which would have been pretty normal for that time. When it came to agriculture, it was believed to begin in the middle of the second millennium, where they farmed crops which would withstand harsher conditions such as millet, specifically pearl millet, which seemed to be a staple. They also grew groundnuts, cowpeas, sorghum, pumpkins, and other veggies. These were used locally for food as well as export. The onset of their Iron Age saw an increase in production as they built more durable agricultural tools that boosted their efforts. And speaking of the industrious nature, now is a good time to look at what was possibly the trade and the economy of the NOC. Thanks to more recent discoveries, whereas before it was thought that not much trade was going on or indeed possible by the NOC, this has now been revisited. They possibly had trade routes as extensive to the Atlantic Ocean, and it doesn't end there. It is also very likely that they had contact, or at least were aware of their other African civilizations, such as the Nubians and the ancient and very African Egyptians who were their contemporaries. They would have used the vast Saharan trade routes that crisscrossed the region, connecting the West and North African coasts. These are routes that have been in use for millennia. And the most likely goods that were traded by our NOC would probably have been tin and copper. Then when we think closer to home, the sculptures were also traded as symbols of worship, wealth, luxury goods, you know, made to order, and even art. Considering the times, it would have also been safe to assume that they would have generated wealth from the exchange of goods like livestock and agricultural produce, the iron tools, as well as weaponry. The demise. So the demise of this civilization is not very clear, so it's best to state what the most educated suppositions have been based on the evidence by archaeologists and historians. So basically, as of today, it is said to have happened circa AD 200, mainly as that is when there is a sharp decline in the terracotta objects being produced. Considering the area and the era, the NOC could have fallen foul of natural resources dwindling, conquests by rival polities, or even civil war. As new information is always coming to light, AfriWet would love to hear feedback from you, our listener, as to what you have heard. Share! In terms of the legacy, the NOC's cultural, religious, and social influence can be seen in later civilizations, some very clearly like the Benin, and some claim Ife. Other ones in the area include the Kwararafa Confederacy, which consisted of Bornu, Kanem, Kano kingdoms, and the Sokoto Caliphate. An interesting fact to share about one of these later states is that of Igbo Ukwu, which flourished in the 9th century AD. So Igbo Ukwu is a fascinating civilization in its own right and is obviously on AfriWetu's list. But in this context of the NOC, it is one of those civilizations whose people were highly skilled and produced masterpieces with bronze. One of the more famous works is that of Igbo Izea, a burial site for one of its kings, and in it, a showcase of the mastery of bronze, which was made using the lost wax method back in the 9th century. A skill that was only picked up by revered European sculptors like Benvenuto Cellini, who's famous for the sculpture of Perseus and the head of Medusa in the 16th century. The lost waxing method, briefly, is a method of metal casting in which molten metal is poured into a mold that has been created by a wax model. Then once the mold is made, the wax model is melted and drained away. It is one of the oldest known metal forming techniques that dates back thousands of years. So, I think it's time to start wrapping up, okay? Now, AfriWatu, if I tell you that I spent hours reading about terracotta, ceramic, iron, archaeological finds, furnaces, pits, pots, figurines, you would think I was starting an ancient African historical works gallery. Thankfully, better minds have done the research and preserved our heritage better than I ever could. And in this particular instance of the NOC, you can see all these wonders of our ancestors thanks to the National Commission for Museums and Monuments in Nigeria. If we take a moment to recall that this civilization was active and thriving from the Stone Age, Neolithic Age, right through to the Iron Age, do you know how long that is? By my calculation, it is a very long time. Okay, no, seriously, it's like over 1,000 years. and it was doing so 500 years before the oft-quoted Roman civilization was actually founded. And then, and I know I've repeated this a lot, but it is because it needs to just sink in. This whole leapfrogging a whole age and being pioneers in iron smelting, a very advanced technology in that time, globally, Afriwatu, globally, please, it has to sink in. I mean, to be fair, Africans have been innovating from then till modern age, so we should recognize our innate genius, yes? So as we bring it home, and as we finish, Afriwatu, I have a slight confession to make. So when starting the research on the NOC, the aim was to go a bit beyond it just being about the terracottas. And not to dismiss this amazing piece of historical fact, but also to see the NOC as actual people who created these pieces. It is sometimes a shame that we can forget that there were normal African women and men who did this work and who lived these lives, and we must celebrate them more than what it is that they produced. Otherwise, we can be in danger of making the terracottas this magical thing that just poof, appeared from nowhere. I do hope that Afriwatu succeeded in making this NOC civilization a little bit more rooted in people for you. Please let Afriwatu know by using our socials. So, that being said, there is continuous learning and discovery about this and other pre-colonial African civilizations and our ancestors as well. So please make sure you keep looking out for the fascinating finds through your own deeper research. And until next time, Mubarikiwe.